But can I just say one thing? How long does Nate Silver keep being wrong and continue to get a job?
I was going to talk about it.
How long can that keep going?
That website needs to be outlawed.
You know what? I feel bad for him because I was watching his blog along with some others, and he just posted this post. He's like, well, I guess he can't be right all the time. And I was like, when he wrote that, he knew his career is over.
Yeah, that's the whole point of a pollster. Dude.
Yeah, his career is over. He could not track the Trump effect at all. His models just failed here. And sorry, Nate Silver.
Why did his model fail? Because a couple of reporters who were on the ground said that if you were on the ground, you could track what Trump was doing.
Yeah, but Nate Silver doesn't work on the ground. He just grabbed polls. He decided ahead of time which one was more accurate than others based on past information and past elections. And he just didn't get into the gritty of what Trump represented and how he was appealing to people.
Well, I think the only poll was right was USC, apparently. I heard that USC was the only one that called Trump.
I didn't know that. I heard an interview with this political scientist who, along with a mathematician, he years ago, I think in 1981, created, it's not a poll at all. It looks at 13 different like questions, and they studied every election, I want to say from like 1880 to 1980. And they found that looking at these 13 factors that have to do which party's in power and what the economy is doing always could predict. Apparently he has predicted incorrectly, with the exception of Gore, which he predicted Gore would win, which arguably he did. He had his model showed that Trump was definitely going to win. And he was like, polling is unscientific. It is not predictive. Apparently his approach is like a much more accurate approach.
Interesting.
I would love to talk more about this. It's just the idea that like without the ability to poll, I have a whole question as it comes to the media's coverage of this election. But maybe we can spin that out for another time.
That's definitely a whole episode.
I think so, because I think polling is really a media invented thing. Is that because it's almost like when following box office. You know, it's like it's something where people are like, oh yeah, we can figure out where things are going. I mean, realistically, how can you know it unless someone goes into a booth and does what they're gonna do?
Right.
Like, that's always been suspect. But he's been so wrong, clearly, in two major elections.
He was so wrong. No, he was on in 2008.
The primary,
every single state. In 2008, the presidential election, he called every single state, which is where he rose to prominence.
And then 2012, he was off, right?
He was
2012,
off.
He was off in a couple of states. And now this one, he was just wildly incorrect.
His like model crashed. Just like everything, Trump crashed every establishment.
Trump, yep. But wouldn't that be, you know, polls are the media's invention because the media needs to report on these things and need to be able to talk about it.
No, it's a commercial. I mean, it's a great advertisement.
Yeah. Movies are going to just be like box office. I'm sorry, movies. Elections just going to be like box offices now. Like you put out your trailer, which will be your political ad, and then you just have to wait and see what happens on that day, see if people are going to show up or not. You're going to have to make a really good product.
And people weren't predicting. People weren't predictable because they stopped sharing information.
I think that's the big
Trumpers,
part of it, yeah.
Trumpers stopped sharing information because it was so embarrassing. And so they, by going dark, he really had no idea what was going on. And I think Hillary and I think her internal polling was wrong, apparently, as well. There's a lot of deconstruction that's probably going to happen in that campaign.
Oh, you know what I wanted to talk about? Okay, real talk. I listen to this podcast every single day, right?
Do you?
Yeah, I hear your guys' voices every single day. And I listen to a lot of the old... because I'm a narcissist and I'm obsessed with the two of you. But the one episode that I love is when Trisha, at the end of Jon Stewart's reign, Trisha completely holds him accountable for what he's done to politics. And I think we have Jon Stewart to blame for this.
Oh, for sure.
I want to spin that out to a whole topic, but I blame him.
And Twitter and Facebook.
Like you said, Twitter and Facebook, the idea that everyone, like people who are like rich and famous from Justin Bieber to Donald Trump, are able to in real time connect with like fans and listeners and whatever. Just contrast that to the royal family in England. As brutal and as catty and bitchy as the tabloid environment is in Britain, the royals never, ever stoop to that level. The idea, we've had presidents on late night talk shows. The idea of a royal showing up in that way is an anathema to those people. The fact that who's the hot prince? Harry?
Harry had to make a statement. Was
the
like
the fact that he just released a statement saying stop harassing my girlfriend was unprecedented.
I know.
Because they just never ever respond to it. Now imagine if our class, our political class, was like that.
It would be great.
But our culture is the that's part of the American like mythos, right? It's like
we would have never had a Trump.
No, he would be impossible.
Right, but we've always valued that, you know, Andrew Jackson, like the common man who, you know, interacts with common people. That's always been part of our mythology. And Twitter's just a really efficient way to do it.
All right.
All right, you two. I've got to eat dinner. Ugh.
Yeah, me too. I'm starving.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Bye.